Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. In your book, I had divided this into two separate readings, but we didn't start as soon as I had planned, so we have an extra one in the book. So we're going to we're going to combine this morning, just read through the chapter, and then we'll move on tomorrow to the following parables. I forget now, where did we start yesterday morning? Not that it matters. I think we started over there yesterday. Okay, so we'll start on this side this morning. Anne, do you want to start us off?
Now the tax collectors and sinners will all gather around him. In the better season, the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them."
So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the other one, which is lost, until he finds it?
And when he has found it, when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost."
Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep her house, and search carefully until she finds it?
And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost."
Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented.
Then he said, "A certain man had two sons.
The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them.
Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living."
Brother Paul?
And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything.
But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perished with hunger?
I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.'"
Anthony?
"And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Made me like one of your hired servants."
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Nishon, 21.
The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against the heavens against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet."
23.
"Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate."
Is it the Jenny?
"For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry.
Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing.
So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on.
"Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has been bad saved.
The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So
So his father went out and pleaded with him.
So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends.
But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him.
My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen. I think that's one of the maybe most famous parable that Jesus told. I don't know whether the Good Samaritan or the prodigal son is which one it would be. But there was something that Jesus wanted to say. And so what was the setting of these parables? Why did Jesus tell these parables? What was taking place? Now, as our sister said, you all know the answer. And you're just waiting. I don't know why. You all know the answer. Why is it? It's right there. What does it say?
He's eating with publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees were murmuring against him. Why is he eating with sinners?
Yeah. The NIV says they were muttering under their breath. One time, look at this guy. Why is he? And Jesus, again, knowing their hearts, knowing their thoughts, he addresses their attitude towards the publicans, the sinners, those that they thought were unrighteous, and they were righteous. Now, we had this yesterday. They were better. They felt that they were better. And so Jesus addresses that. And what should be our attitude to those that are lost? The lost needs to be found, right? And so he gives these three little stories, and the first one is one we find in other of the Gospels, and it's about the shepherd. There's 100 sheep, and one is lost. What do I do? Well, I have 99. I'm okay. That sheep should have stayed in the pen. Why did he wander off? No, what does the shepherd do?
Leaves the 99 and goes after the one.
Right. He seeks that one until he finds it. He's not satisfied until that lost sheep is brought back to the fold. And then how does the story end? He puts it on his shoulders. He carries it home. Yesterday we were going for a walk, and my little girl is now, I guess, 9 years old. And we're walking, and she says, Daddy, give me a piggyback ride. So I look at her and I laugh at her. I said, do you think that I can carry you? Yes, Daddy, you can. But honey, it's hot. And I'm already hot. You want me to pick you up? Yes, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. She walked. Bad daddy, right? Bad parents, right? But here the shepherd takes the sheep and puts it on his shoulders. Maybe it was bleeding. Maybe it was hurt. We don't know, but he tenderly carries that sheep back home. And then what does he do?
He's happy.
Yeah, he says, let's celebrate. Rejoice with me. And then Jesus says, he gives us the application of the meaning here. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And so here he was addressing that attitude. Look, he eats with sinners. How about us? What is our attitude toward the lost? Then he tells another story. And what's that story? Help me.
The
Yeah, 10 coins. Yeah, a woman loses 10, has 10 pieces of silver. She loses one. And what does she do? Yeah, she lights a lamp, it says, and she sweeps the house, and she moves the furniture, and she tries to find that one piece of silver that was lost. Now, I don't know how you'd like to interpret this. But could it possibly be that there are people in our churches who are lost? This coin wasn't out in the wilderness. It wasn't out far away from the fold, so to speak. It says it was lost in the house. And I believe that there are, at times, and maybe in every church, people who sit in the pews or in the chairs or come to church and yet they're lost. Is Jesus interested in them? Am I interested in them? You see the diligence and the desire to find that lost coin. Again, it's not like it was her only coin, but it was one of 10. And yet she diligently searches till she finds it. And then again, what's the same conclusion? What's her attitude once she finds the coin? She calls her friends and neighbors together. Rejoice with me, rejoice. I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Repents. And so again, why was he telling this story? To show the Pharisees that their attitude to the lost should be one of compassion. They should be concerned about not pushing them away and saying, you're not clean and you're not righteous and you're not as holy as I am, but rather to embrace them and to bring them in. Jesus knew that in order to win the lost, he had to be with them. There had to be that contact. There had to be that touch, as it were. There had to be a connection made in order for the lost to be brought in. He wasn't, never taught us, Jesus never taught us to isolate ourselves. We're told to separate ourselves from the world and the things that are in the world, but we're not taught to isolate ourselves from the lost. We need to go where they are, seek them out and find them. And so I think these two stories show us that. And the joy that is in heaven ought to be the joy that is in my heart when someone turns back to God, when someone is brought to the fold. And then we have this story, very famous story, right, Chris? The story of the prodigal son. Prodigal, what does that mean, prodigal? I think it means reckless. Is that right? Wasteful, reckless. Help me, Brother Paul.
Someone who leaves the
parts. The parts. That's another interesting thing, because here was a son. The story is about two sons, and both of them are the father's son, and one decides to leave home. Now, maybe we could liken that to someone who's been a Christian and, you know, given their hearts to God, belongs to the family, but at some point decides, it's time for me to leave the family. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. And so he goes to the father and he says, what? Father, give me what? What was he asking for? Give me my inheritance. Give me my share of the family inheritance. I want it now. Now, normally, that would be something that you would wait until after Dad had gone home, right? That would be the respectful thing. Instead of demanding it now. Give me what's mine now. I'm not happy being at home. How do you think the father felt? You think that broke his heart? I think it did. Because he loved his sons. And so the one son says, I'm leaving. And so he takes the father gives in to his request. He could have said no. He goes, no, no, if you want to leave, you leave, but you're not taking nothing with you. That's what I would say. I'm not going to make it easy for you to go. You want to go, go. Don't come back. Watch the doorknob on the way out. Right? No. No, we wouldn't. I don't know if I'd be like that either. I think my heart would ache too. And we know the story. So what happens? He goes off and there it says very simply, he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. I guess he really made it for himself. He did really well, didn't he? He ended up feeding the pigs. And then it says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. Now, there's a point made, and you know, when you look at these three parables together, that in the first two instances, the person, the shepherd or the woman, they seek that coin, they seek the sheep out, right? And there's really nothing that sheep does other than have gone astray and the coin that it got lost. But in this parable, the father does not seek out the son. Is that right? It's when the son comes to his senses and takes a step of repentance, of returning. That the restoration is made. The son needed to take that step. And so what happens? As he takes that step and as he goes back home towards the father, what happens? Well, as he gets close, and he's planning in his mind already what he's going to say. He's got that little speech prepared. I'm not worthy to be your son. Father, you know, forgive me. Just take me back, but I'll just be a servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. As he's planning all that, and as he's walking down that road towards home, who sees him? The father sees him. The father is looking for him to return. Do you think he went out there every morning and stood on the front porch and looked down the road and said, maybe today is the day that my son comes home? It seems to indicate that. That it wasn't a chance thing that he was standing there waiting. And we don't know how long this took, and Jesus doesn't tell us, but you can see it probably was months. Or maybe a year. We don't know. But the father was waiting, and when he sees his son, how do you think he looked? You know, maybe he was all beat up. Maybe he was dirty. Maybe he had rags. I mean, he was working among the swine. And yet his father sees him and runs to him. Is that what it says? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe I have, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. And here it is, for this son of mine was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but he's found. Hallelujah. Is that the end of the story? That would have been a nice ending, right? But I think up until this point, Jesus was showing them God's heart. Now he was going to show them their heart. And so he ends this story by talking about the elder son. The son that had stayed home. The son that had always done what dad wanted him to do. And so the brother comes in and he hears the party going on. He says, what's going on? Who's the party for? It's not my birthday. And they tell him, well, your brother's come home. My brother? My brother's back? And dad gave him a party? What's dad thinking? So he refuses to go in. And the father goes out, and this is, again, just a tender scene. The father is pleading with his son. Do you see that? So the father went out and pleaded, entreated him. And how does he answer his father? Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not even my brother, this son of yours squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? You got to be kidding me. And how does the father respond? My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, where were the Pharisees in this parable? What do you think? Who were they? The older brother? The older brother? And again, just think of it in terms of the kingdom of God and what God had done for his people. These were the men who were supposed to know the law, were supposed to know God, were supposed to bring others to God and teach them. And yet, in their heart, Jesus was saying, you don't really know your father. You don't know my father. Because if the older son had really known his father and had really had a relationship with his father, then he would too have rejoiced because he would have seen that his father's heart was glad that the son had come home. But he didn't know his father. And I think Jesus was saying, you have the law and you know about God, but you really don't know him. And we can be so close, as it were, to our God and yet miss the relationship he has and desires for us. We can be in church. We can know the Bible. We can know about God. We can think that we're serving him. Oh, I'm serving you, God, and you know, I'm doing a lot of things for you, God. I do everything you ask me to do. And yet, we don't know our Father's heart. And his heart has not become our heart. Jesus was saying, I want you to have compassion on the lost. I want you to love them. And you've missed that. You've missed that. And so what is our, the application now, what is our attitude toward those who are lost? Now what is, first, I know I have to end here, but what is, how would you define this lostness, so to speak? What is it, how would you define someone that is lost? They don't know the Lord. Someone else?
No relationship with God.
No relationship with God. What was that?
I'm thinking of somebody who doesn't read their Bible. They might say, I know God, but they don't know God, the God of God's Word.
Okay. People who are trying to find their way and they forsake the only one who really can lead them and guide them in the right way. I was telling a little story at the breakfast table. Don't have it perfectly right, I'm sure, but there was a young fellow who had a nice sports car, and he was driving around the English countryside and came to a cross in the road and didn't know which way to go. And so he pulls up next to the side of the road, and there was an old man sitting there, and he said, which way to Towton? And the old man looked at him and said, I don't know. And then he said, well, which way to Hedgeworth? I'm trying to make up English town names. And he said, I don't know. He said, well, which way to? And he named another city. And the old man said, I don't know. So by this time, the young man was very upset, you know, with this old man. And he says, well, what do you know? He goes, I might not know much, but I'm not lost. And so we can be very smart in our own eyes. And I think the Pharisees were pretty contented in their own religiousness. And yet Jesus was saying, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point. The Father's heart and the Shepherd's heart and the Holy Spirit are seeking the lost. Your heart is not filled with God's love. And so what does he say to us? Is my heart filled with God's love? Because of my relationship with the Father, my heart should be one of compassion to those that are lost. You know, our church is in an area which has changed quite dramatically over the past 10 years. And we have a challenge. Because there are people now who live in our neighborhood who maybe have no desire to step foot into a church. They have no desire to seek after God, as it were. Maybe they're not even open to the concept of God. And so the Lord has to help us and give us His love to reach them. The mission field has come to our doorstep. It's no longer that there's a heathen land, as we used to say, somewhere across the sea that I need to go and know. Those who know nothing about God are right next to us, right in our neighborhood. And so, Lord, I want you to put your love in my heart. people who are just going through life, going their own way, making their own plans. And yet there's a God who is waiting for them to return, waiting for them, longing for them to come. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that your love would fill our hearts. Lord, forgive us when we've been like the Pharisees. We've selected those that we want to keep company with. We've selected those that we want in our church. While your heart is open to all, and you're seeking, willing to leave the 99 and go find the one that's lost. Lord, put that same compassion in our hearts. Put a love for souls in us. As your children, we have received so much. Help us not to be like the elder brother who didn't realize that Father was right there. Did not share in Father's love, did not share in Father's heart. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, I just pray by your Spirit this morning you would write these things upon our hearts. Change us. Change us on the inside, God. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So as we go into this day, let's just ask the Lord to continue to remind us of what we heard this morning, not only in these parables, but what Dad reminded us of, just wanting to please him in everything. Let's walk today, every moment, seeking to please Jesus. I know he'll help us, and he'll give us grace to live for him every moment of every day. Now, this morning we have time for prayer before noon. So if you'd like to join us, we'll just make our way into the prayer room. And you can come and go as you are able. If you want to spend 10 minutes or half hour, whatever it may be, everyone is welcome. But God bless you today. Walk with him.